podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Obviously a difficult loss, one that's tough to swallow, you know, for a lot of different reasons. There's some positives that we take out of it, but the big negative is that we lost.
WGN Radio presents Hogan Johns.
You know, we ended up 1-for-5 in the red zone. The issue going into this week was red zone drives. We only had 14, 29th in the NFL. When we got into the red zone, we did well. Then today, we get a lot of drives into the red zone, and we didn't do well.
A 33-yard field goal by Pinheiro, and it's off the upright. Trubisky, he will roll right and throws to the back of the end zone and nearly intercepted. Third down and goal, pump fake one way. They come back the other way, and it's incomplete.
That hurt us bad.
With WGN's Adam Hogue.
It's bad.
Nothing has ever sucked more than this.
It's so bad.
And from The Athletic, Adam Johns.
And the great disturbance in the force.
It's so bad.
I hear something terrible has happened.
You either win it or you lose it. This will be the final play of the game. Snap, hold, kick. Wide left, and the Chargers have come to Chicago and beaten the Chicago Bears by a final score of 17-16.
Here they are, the Adams.
They're good.
They are good.
Hogan Johns.
I'm not going to lie, I was a little worried about Ernie's open today. Wasn't too bad.
No.
I mean, well, they're always good. I just meant in terms of how harsh he was going to be on
the
Matt
team,
and, yeah, and it's well deserved.
He's got a lot to choose from, that's for sure. A lot to choose from.
Went with the red zone struggles, which certainly on the long list of reasons of why the Bears lost this game to the Chargers today, that's certainly up there. You could write a movie called The 100 Ways to Lose a Football Game, and then just show.
Isn't there a movie about 100 ways to die in like the Old West or
yes.
something?
Well, this was 100.
It's very similar to here.
This was bad. This was bad.
Also
people.
Applies.
You know that though. That's why you're tuning in here to the Hogan Johns podcast. Oh my Lord, have we sat here in this room too many times at Soldier Field after mind-numbing, head-scratching losses.
You're losing your tie.
Yeah, well, I should have done it a long time ago. Welcome in, Hogan Johns. Adam Hogue on Twitter, Adam Johns.
Also on Twitter.
Also on Twitter. On days like this, unfortunately, on Twitter. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears. The Athletic, The Athletic app. We appreciate you tuning in. Rating and review the podcast. We are here for you. Win or lose, we always are. And this is becoming a very tough situation, Adam Johns.
You're putting that very mildly. This is, you could press the panic button, folks. This season, like the playoffs were a long shot. Not a long shot, but like a pipe dream, whatever you want to call it, at 3-3. At 3-4. With this remaining schedule, it does not look good for a repeat postseason berth for Matt Nagy's Bears right now. They're winning in ugly, extremely ugly fashion right now.
Yeah, even if the kick goes in at the end, this would have been a very ugly win.
It's fine.
It wouldn't have not...
An ugly win's still better than an ugly, disheartening loss.
Well, the difference is it would have at least given you a good vibe and prevented all the negative that's inevitably going to come this week. And
yes.
It's going to be bad.
Yes.
You already got players
only... It could
only
be overwhelming for some players.
Yeah, I mean, you already had players only meetings last week, so what's it going to be now when you lose after the players only meeting to a team you should have beaten? Right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just, it's not a good situation. At least the win, if the kick goes in, prevents all that.
Yes.
What it would not have changed are all the problems that are still out there. And... to me, I mean, the Bears finished with 16 points in a game they lost 17-16. They should have had way more than 16 in the first half.
Yes. Maybe 28 points?
It could have been a blowout. I mean,
yes.
This could have been the Bucs game from last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where they're putting the ball in the end zone, defense is playing well, Mitch Trubisky gets in a groove, and all of a sudden, they blew out a team that wasn't that great.
How did you feel about the red zone package? It was something else, man.
I didn't love it.
It was baffling.
Here's what I just don't get. And I think the Bears have a head coach and a play caller right now that's struggling to accept the fact that what his players are good at are not what he wants to run.
Yeah.
Not the offense he wants to run. He didn't come here to run the I formation. Okay, fine. But that's what they're apparently good at.
Yeah. You have after today, yes.
You have a quarterback that can't do all those other things that you want to do. And you have a good running back and an offensive line that today was blocking. And you had a running back.
Well, not entirely on pass protection, but yes.
Well, so running blocking, back, running wise, run yes. blocking.
Yes.
Run blocking. So let me get to, first of all, all right, so we can talk about the formations, whatever, why you're running three tight ends bunch sets in the red zone, and when you could just line up and hand the ball off to your running back. That's all fair game. I'll tell you what, though, after all that, the struggles to score, it was 16-17. Okay, I guess it was, by the time you got to the fourth quarter, it was 16-10. Because the defense, which I know you've had an issue with, and today I'm not going to bother defending, gave up a really long field goal drive. They couldn't get off the field. That's fine. It's 16-10. But you have manhandled them up front, in my opinion. You have run the ball consistently. And all you had to do was run the ball. Eventually, you were going to break them down and bust another big run. You could feel it coming. And get out of here with a 4-3 record, and maybe more importantly, your quarterback feeling confident yeah. about himself. And what did you do? You're back in that shotgun. You got him throwing the ball, and he throws a terrible interception. And then you survive that somehow. Defense gets you the ball back. They missed the field goal. So
they survived it because the Chargers allowed them.
Right. You got lucky.
Yes. A drop touchdown and a missed field goal.
So you got lucky. And then, once again, Trubisky's back there with the ball in his hands and dropping the ball because he didn't have two hands on it. He runs into his own offensive lineman, yeah. and it comes out. And the whole thing just looks
nobody
ugly.
Wanted to say it, but I think he ran into Bobby Massey, who yeah. had a long day.
He had not, a long yeah, day. Not a great day. But now your quarterback has lost all that confidence and goodwill that he had built up in this game. And by the way, you've lost the lead.
Yes.
I just don't get it. Don't understand it. I had a much bigger problem with that than what happened at the end of the game, which we're going to get to here shortly.
I really liked how they opened up the second half. A lot more I formation, offset I formation, some power, some stretch runs.
So why'd they get away from
it? Yes, I don't know. Like, if it works, keep doing it.
The 31-yard throw to Allen Robinson, play action.
Yes, yes. He was feeding off those plays, the simplicity of it. The simplicity of it. It's what the Vikings run.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins, since being broken, is now apparently, you know, the Bears actually fixed Kirk Cousins. Can we just clarify that? Since we're talking
apparently.
About play action and run game and stuff like that. But the simplicity of how the offense was working, just stick with it.
You know, that's a great thing you brought up, though, the Vikings. They brought in, why am I forgetting his name? Their offense coordinator last year that was the Bears head coaching candidate. I'm just
John DeFilippo.
John DeFilippo. They bring in John DeFilippo. Hot name. Came from the Eagles. Doug Peterson. Andy Reid coaching tree. They bring him into Minnesota. They want to get wild and crazy
They're
on offense.
Slinging it all over the place.
Kirk Cousins couldn't do it. It did not fit what they were good at. So what do? They fired him in the middle of the year. Kevin Stefanski takes over. He's been a Vikings employee for 14 years now. And they come in this year with a renewed focus on running the ball, play action, do what Kirk Cousins can do. And they're rolling right now.
Yeah.
And they're rolling right now.
See, I get that advanced statistics will tell you throwing the football wins you football games. But you know what? The Bears aren't that advanced. They're not. Your quarterback is not at that point in his development. I think there are signs, massive signs, that show that he may not ever reach that point. So with what you have right now, the Bears are not that throw-first team. This offense, to me, should run through David Montgomery. Became more evident and more clear today. It worked better when things were off him, when plays were run through him. And the play action opened up. Trubisky got the ball down the field. He had some nice passes today, Adam.
Sure, he did.
Yes, and I think the run game helped get him to that point.
When I get a chance to go back and watch tape, I just want to compare all the plays where he was under center, because he was under center more,
yes.
whether it was handoffs or him throwing out of it, compared to him being in shotgun.
Yes.
And Montgomery ends up 27 carries, 135 yards rushing, an average of 5 yards per carry, busted off the 55-yarder.
Yes. And I get it didn't look good early. The stats after the first quarter are quite ugly. I think it's 8 carries for 15 yards. 10 of those yards coming on the first carry of the game for
Montgomery.
But that
just proves why you commit to it.
You stick with it. Yes. Yes.
So, look, I just wrote a column Friday about how after reviewing everything from last week, I actually thought last week, every time I wanted to blame the scheme, it came back to execution. I thought today was different. Now, maybe the same thing will happen. Maybe I'll go through the same again. But no, I doubt it. I doubt it. To me, things were working from an execution standpoint, a certain philosophy that was working today. I formation, running the football. All you had to do in the fourth quarter was to remain committed to it, yes. And you would have won this game.
Yes, yes. I completely agree with you. Like, look, every play perfectly executed is going to work. But to see some of the personnel groupings that he marched out there in the goal line, like, it was unnecessarily complicated.
Sure.
Do you really need your that triple tight end package that we saw a couple of years ago that they barely used last year, but now it's here in the goal line situation?
I think they should get weird. Let's just get all seven tight ends out there. Call up Dax Raymond from the practice squad, Jesper Horsted.
Get him out of here. Yeah.
Go seven tight ends set.
Yes, yes.
I think that would – that would mean they have to line up as offensive linemen.
Yeah, but it's also like – like Adam Shaheen, to be honest with you, I think that ball actually went through his hands in the back of the end zone. If you see the end zone look of it.
Yeah, but come on. That's not a catch he can
make. But it's going back to my point.
Yeah.
Like when that other opportunity to him on the goal line, why are you running a slant with him? Like, why can't this be a jump ball? This guy's 6'6".
Yeah.
Basketball background.
And apparently that's all he can do.
Yeah, put the ball up. Let him moss some guys.
That's another thing I want to get to. I sometimes feel like there is this blind loyalty, I don't know if that's the right word, but belief, maybe a blind belief in your players being able to do things they just apparently can't do.
It's fine. It's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like you're asking players to do things they can't.
Yeah.
You're asking them to do things you probably thought they could in training camp. But unfortunately, there are guys on this team that just haven't blossomed the way you thought they were. The quarterback, number one, highlighter circled in red, most obvious candidate there.
Well, now you can't read his name, but okay.
I just they got to simplify it, or the season, or you're going to lose games like this, which obviously they did. Should we talk about what happened at the end?
Yes.
I mean, I feel like I covered this in 2013. I did cover this in 2013 at the Metrodome.
Oh, the
Bears' last game at the Metrodome. So. You're down at the, 21-yard line, I believe?
After a good scramble from your quarterback.
Finally.
Feeling juiced.
Finally scrambled. Picked up yards. So you're down there at the 21-yard line, and there was 43 seconds left. Let me get all this correct here. 43 seconds left when the ball was snapped and kneeled. Okay. Because the Chargers used their last timeout. So the Chargers, the last three plays before this, burned all three of their timeouts because they knew they had to keep the clock moving or stop the clock in case the Bears scored so that they'd have time. But after you get that last first down, Chargers use their last timeout, and so the clock stopped at 43 seconds. Now, Nagy had a timeout left.
Yes, he did.
And he chose to just kneel.
Mm-hmm.
So it became a 41-yard field goal. You lose a yard on the kneel down, so you're at the 22. It's a 41-yard field goal for Eddie Pinheiro. And to a lot of people's credit, first guessing, Twitter was blowing up before the kick was even attempted.
Yes.
No one understood why you would not hand the ball off in this situation. Or you still have a timeout, throw the ball again.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play all of Nagy, but before we play all of Nagy, I'm going to focus on the start of this press conference, his answers to this specific situation, and him getting kind of annoyed with the questioning, and then we'll stop it, we'll discuss, and then we'll play the rest of it later. Here he is, Matt Nagy, on why he chose the kneel down, setting up Eddie Pinheiro's 41-yard field goal that was missed as time expired.
All right, guys. So, obviously, a difficult loss, one that's tough to swallow. And, you know, for a lot of different reasons, there's some positives that we take out of it, but the big negative is that we lost. So, that's that. And you guys can start with your questions.
Matt, can you walk us through your thought process on taking the knee before the last?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to get into that. I have zero thought of running the ball and taking the chance of fumbling the football, or, you know, they know you're running the football, so you lose 3-4 yards. So that wasn't even in our process as coaches to think about that. You know, we were in field goal range before the scramble, and then we got the scramble. So that didn't even cross my mind.
No thought of throwing it there either?
Throw the football?
Yeah, I mean, just to try to get a little closer.
throw the football right then and there. What happens if you take a sack or there's a fumble?
Lose the game.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So, no, there was zero thought of that. I'll just be brutally clear. Zero thought of throwing the football. Zero thought of running the football. You understand me? That's exactly what it was. So it's as simple as that.
Could you explain to him why not running the ball? What was...
Did I just say that?
Yeah.
What did I say?
The reasons.
What was it? Fumble. And when they know you're running the football, you lose 3 or 4 yards. So that was that.
Is that a reflection? I mean, it almost sounds like a lack of faith in your offense. Or your...
No, there's no lack. I have a lot of our run game right now. Today, they stepped up. And so what you guys are getting at right now is the what ifs, which is fine. I get it. You have to do that. It's your job. But we ran the ball well today. You know, we did. I think you guys would all agree that from what you all have seen the first 6 weeks of the year, we were better. So if you're asking me in that situation, because of that, wouldn't you run the ball again? I'm telling you no. That outweighs the risk of if there's a fumble in that play, or that's the biggest risk, right? Because when you QB kneel it, there you lose a yard or two, which we did. But when you hand the ball off and they know you're running, we're wasting our time right now talking about that.
Did
so
these earlier miss have any thought factor in your thinking?
No.
Nope. Ooh boy. It's more testy than last week, I would say, my friend.
Unfortunately, we've reached the point where we're in a scenario where I don't know how the head coach could possibly sound good trying to explain a situation that didn't really make sense. I also want to bring up last year in Miami, Nagy had a 3rd and 4 and chose to run the ball instead of throw it.
Yes.
Right before the 2-minute warning, setting up a 53-yard field goal for
Cody Parkey. You could say his name. It's okay.
I forgot.
He's back in the league.
I purposely forgot his name for a second. And it was missed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears would go on to lose that game in overtime. And I remember us talking about it last year. I thought that was extremely conservative in that situation.
Yes.
To expect him to kick a 53-yarder. Now, this is only 41. And
yes.
Eddie Pinheiro's been good. And certainly has a leg for 41 yards, as any NFL kicker should. But it still doesn't mean you can't make it easier on him. And so you heard it there. Nagy talking about, you run the ball, you could fumble it. You throw the ball, you could turn it over. You could have a penalty. You could have a sack. You could have all these negative things potentially happen.
Yeah.
And I will defend him on one thing. Where the Bears are at in this season, I too would trust Eddie Pinheiro to kick a 41-yard field goal than put the ball in the hands of the quarterback.
Yeah, it's fine. Doesn't mean you still can't trust David Montgomery.
Especially on a day where you're running the ball very, very well.
Yes, line up. Put your best goal line formation out there. Something. Put J.P. Holtz back out there at fullback. That power eye's been working all day. Trust your offense to get you a couple more yards. Then you call the timeout. You know what? I think what bugs me about this, we've talked about 2014 a lot. You know, yes or no, does it compare to what we're watching this year? Those comments felt too similar to Mark Trestman for me.
It did, and I went back and I found the story I wrote.
Oh, no.
2013, when this happened, overtime, Mark Trestman, you're barely in field goal range. It was a 47-yard field goal.
Robbie Gould
to win the game.
Off the birth of his second child, I believe.
Yes, you're right. You're right. He had to, like, fly up there on his own.
Yeah, before the game.
So it's a 47-yarder, which is not a gimme, but for Robbie Gould, at this point, he was the third most accurate kicker in NFL history. And Trestman opted to kick it on second down. Now, this wasn't a time issue. There was still time. This was just him, we're in field goal range, let's kick it.
Let's kick it.
Because something bad could happen.
Let's get in and get out, yes.
And I did the math at that point in the season, the story I wrote the following day after Trestman tried to explain this on Monday, and again, it came back to, well, you could fumble the ball. You could turn it over. You could have a penalty that moves you back. Again, though, like, it's second down. This is the same thing. It's second down. So even if that did happen, it's not like the game's over.
Yeah.
You still had another play. You still had a timeout. It wasn't like the clock was out. So, and again, I did the math on the amount of times the Bears had a penalty or turnover. It was like 6%, which is way lower than the chances of even Robbie Gould missing a field goal.
Yeah.
And this is a rookie kicker now. You're talking about Eddie Pinheiro. So the chances of something negative happening there on offense are still lower than the chances of you missing that field goal. That's what I don't understand, even just from a number standpoint. But it also speaks to, and it was brought up, I believe, by Rick Morrissey in that press conference. You heard it there.
Yeah.
That doesn't this kind of sound like you don't trust your team?
Yeah.
To go make a play in that scenario? And it doesn't the bigger problem, this ties
the old Viper, yes.
It's a great point by him, and it's a question that, frankly, you just, as a head coach, you're stuck. You just sound bad because you can't say that you don't trust your guys. Your actions certainly show that. But what bothers me, I go back to what I was talking about earlier in the fourth quarter, when you had Mitch Trubisky out there throwing the ball when you didn't need to. The philosophies don't jive. You're being way too aggressive early in the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden, you get down there at the end, and
you're
over-conservative. You go into a turtle shell.
Yeah. Like, he goes from being aggressive to coaching scared.
That's a good way to put it.
And, look, Mark Trestman is I should say it this way. Matt Nagy is not Mark Trestman as a person. I think he has a good grasp on what his locker room can be. If there's any fires, I think Nagy sees them quickly, and he puts them out right away.
I agree.
Now, there will be some fires to put out this week. There will be. I guarantee you there will be. But this struck me as too Trestman-like. The answers, the approach. He even like learned from his own experiences. You mentioned the Miami game. Like we've been here before. Like
that's what bothered me is that he went through this last year.
It says be you on his thing. Like, and part of that being you is attacking, being aggressive. But we've seen a few of these now. Few of these now. Even like the Eagles game. Wasn't there time left there a little bit to move the ball a bit? I blocked out the parking kick. I'm sorry. But it just seems to strike me as extremely problematic for the young head coach.
I agree with what you said, though. I do think he's, from what we've seen, he's better behind the scenes at dealing with his team, keeping them positive. But what I will say, though, is that game in 2013 that they lost at the Metrodome was really the start of when things started to go downhill.
Yeah.
Because they were good. It was a game they should have won. I don't know if they were really good, but they had a good record. They were moving towards the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost that game. And it was really the first time that everybody was like really, really doubting Mark Trestman.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, they had two chances to win the division. They don't. They finish 8-8. Things totally spiraled out of control the following year in 2014. So I kind of pushed back at some of these comparisons last week, but holy crap, this one played out about as similar as it could to a moment in the Trestman era that you started to have some doubt. And what I will say is, you know, I know these players all handle it in the locker room well, and they're, you know, talk about remaining positive. They're human beings. They're all going home tonight and asking these same questions.
Like
about
what's going on? Yeah.
How the end of the game played out.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. I don't know if Mark Trestman ever stood up in front of his team and, we'll say, apologized or said, this is on me, guys.
Yeah.
I messed up.
Where apparently Nagy did that this week.
Yes. For his run game, or lack thereof, last week against the Saints.
And to his credit, he came back and delivered 27 carries for Montgomery.
But now he's got to do something similar again.
Yeah.
Not a good look, but I think that's part of it. It has to be part of it right now. You have a team searching for too many answers right now. It's baffling. You know, I think a lot of it comes down to, like, you see the frustration in the defensive players. Like, Danny Trevathan's eyes, I'm writing about this, like, right now, my story for The Athletic. Like, he was fired up.
Do you have a clone right now that's writing that story while you're doing the podcast?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. His name's Kevin Fishbane.
Ghostwriter.
Yes. But it's, like, he wanted to still play. You know, some guys seem more resigned. It's just, to me, I think faith in Nagy works hand in hand with the production from the quarterback. Like, salvaging this season means salvaging some part of the Trubisky conversation because they're losing it now.
Yeah.
It's probably long gone. This town booed his offense off the field at halftime, and the Bears were winning. Have you ever seen that before?
I'm sure I have.
but to be honest, I've covered this team since 2012, and that Trestman team was booed.
Yeah.
John Fox's Bears were booed. Nagy's Bears were winning at halftime, and coming off the field, they were booed by the Soldier Field crowd.
Well, they had 11 plays inside the 10-yard line that went for a total of 3 yards. The Chargers gave them two penalties there. It was like having three red zone trips in one.
Yeah,
and right. They got a field goal.
Yes, yes. Almost didn't, actually.
I hate to, like, I'm sorry I'm going to say this, Bears fans, who are already in so much pain, but this just feels like such a big missed opportunity when you look at how the first half played out. I mean, you get you get a really good drive that goes down the field to the 15-yard line, and Eddie Pinheiro misses a field goal. Then Kyle Fuller gets the interception. It's like, oh, that defensive swag's back. They're dancing in the end zone.
Yeah.
And then settle for a field goal.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have two more opportunities in the first half where you're inside the 10-yard line and you're settling for field goals. This could have, again, I'll go back to it. It could have been a blowout.
Yeah.
It could have been a game that you left here with a total renewed sense of confidence throughout. And even if it's, you know, sort of false confidence, whatever. The defensive swagger would have been back.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky's confidence could have been back. You would have had all that good mojo from your running game because it would have been working the rest of the way. And you would have won the game. You would have been 4-3, and it would have had a completely different feeling as you go into Philadelphia next week. And instead, they just left so many points out there before halftime. They put themselves in the situation where it was going to look ugly no matter what, if they won or lost. Now it looks ugly and they lost.
Yeah, instead, you're running quick screens to Cordell Patterson behind your three tight end monster. We all knew it was coming.
Well, that's what I was saying. Okay, so they have the three tight end bunch set, and then Cordarrelle Patterson on the outside who doesn't even run a route. And I tweeted that, and everyone's like, well, yeah, that was the design of the play. He was supposed to, you know, he was keeping the corner from dropping back. I'm like, okay, but in what situation this year has Cordarrelle Patterson made you feel dangerous about him lining up on the outside?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why would they respect that?
I don't think I've seen one of those quick throws out there.
Doesn't make any sense.
Make a play, yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. All right, speaking of not making any sense, should we hear the rest of Matt Nagy?
No, ouch, ouch.
Sorry.
Zinger.
That was a little mean.
Yeah, low blow, low blow.
The low rest blow. Of it made some sense. Here it is, Matt Nagy. The rest of this.
Low blow. Adam Hogue.
Going into the second half, going up halftime, were you playing what ifs at all with the kind of the red problems you were having in the red zone?
No what ifs, just answers. You know, why? And what are ways? How do we make adjustments to be better? You know, we ended up 1-for-5 in a red zone. So the issue going into this week was red zone drives. We only had 14, 29th in the NFL in red zone drives. When we got into the red zone, we did well. Then today, we get a lot of drives into the red zone and we didn't do well. That hurt us bad.
Man, what you saw, I know you still have to watch the tape, but from what you saw in those situations, goal to goal, what wasn't working?
Well, there was a lot. It was the run game wasn't working and the pass game. So they did a good job. You got to give credit to the Chargers, too. You know, they stepped up, and our guys stepped up on defense, too, when they were at the 2-yard line and got a stop, made a field goal.
Matt, do you have a feel for why it was so difficult inside the 10 to punch it in?
No, I got to look at it. I don't. You know, I think there's a play or two where I think we went back. I'm not going to get into that, but you know, we gotta be better. Our defense to play the way they did, and for us to move the ball finally down into that area, and we feel so confident when we get into that red zone that we're gonna strike and we're gonna get touchdowns. So that was a little for us. I felt like out of the ordinary that when we were to have them that many opportunities, you know, and then at least to start the third quarter when we did get down there, then we ended up our guys took the challenge, we ran the ball and got it in.
Last drive before halftime, the clock kind of ran out on you. Any thoughts on what went haywire down the stretch?
No, we were good there. I was fine with all that. What I didn't like was that we took it down to 1 second. That, to me, you know, that became almost bad. But we needed 1 second on the clock in order to have that opportunity. But I was fine with that part. It was just the fact that we were real close to not getting that off.
Now, what was the difference with the running game today? You were able to get it going.
Well, first of all, on my end, there was more attempts, right? So I don't know what the total attempts were. I have no ideas what the numbers were, but we felt like, you know, our guys were going pretty good. They started out playing a certain personnel to what we did, and our guys blocked well. And 32, you guys saw it. He ran hard. He runs hard. He's a hard runner. And then when we had an opportunity to take some shots downfield, we made the most of it. Our guys made some plays, and turnovers got us. When we were winning, and we got in those three wins, we were protecting the football. And so you give up the football. That's field. I mean, they're automatic field position for them.
So speaking of that early spot in the fourth quarter where you did have those two turnovers.
Yeah.
We're running the ball so well. Any regrets that you didn't just keep it pounding on the ground?
No, because at the same time, just remember that they make adjustments too. And there's times where they were stopping our run on down and distance wise. I wanted to be careful of getting in too much of a tendency of it's always run, pass. I was just a little cognizant of that. So I felt like that the balance of when we, you know, ran the ball versus when we threw it, because you can't just, you know, every series they're gonna after the first drive of the third quarter. There's adjustments that are made formationally and some of the things that we did. And they made adjustments. They showed that. So then we went to some different things. And so it's just a little bit of balancing that.
Man, what did you see on Mitch's interception?
The corner fell off. He was playing the post route, and he kind of just fell off and ended up, you know, sitting there for the pick. So in that situation there, you want to be able to, if you see that or feel that, just dump it down to the next guy and live without the interception.
What did you see on the fumble? And I believe on the next possession, it looks like Mitch's back got turned.
Yeah, I did not see that. I just saw the ball come out. I was blocked from where the line was, so I missed that. But that's what I did hear. I heard that one of our own guys knocked it out. But again, we had a play right before that where we had an opportunity to strike, and we didn't make it happen. So those are ones that I think that stick out to me that I'm going to reflect on and say, okay, what's, you know, where are we at, why, and there's a, you know, that's just a part of coaching.
Knowing that the time is ticking, mm-hmm. running out on you, what are your emotions? What are the emotions in there right now after this?
Yeah, this is, you know, we're at a point right now where I got to make sure, because everyone that you keep losing, it human nature is it hurts all of us. It hurts everybody involved. Everybody that likes Chicago Bears or everybody that plays for the Bears, it pulls at you. And so I just need to make sure that I lead them the right way. I've been a part of longer ones than this, and I've seen how it goes when you're resilient and you show resolve as a team and as a family. We understand that everybody outside, it's a frustrating time right now. You have to accept that. We accept it, but we can't dwell on it. We need to make sure that we focus on how do we, as rough as three losses in a row is, what do we do to rally? I said it last week, you got to win. If you win, all these questions about you wouldn't even ask me the question about what happened in the play before if he makes that field goal. That question wouldn't have been asked. But oh, you did? Okay. All right. I believe you. But this is a part of life, man. It's a part of life. And people that are strong-willed, people that take this job very seriously, people that don't listen to outsiders. That's just where I'm from. That's how I work. So you're going to get everything out of me. Those players are going to get everything out of me. And I'm going to demand that we get the same in return. That's just how it goes. And this is a sport where you win or you lose. And we've lost three in a row. We got to rally the troops.
Matt, on the second to last drive, Bosa had been giving you problems all day. Third and long, just outside of field goal range. Did you think of helping to his side? Because he was left alone on Massey.
Yeah, there's schematically, always. I mean, I've dealt with him for years. You always want to try to help as much as you can with him and Ingram. But there's schematically sometimes, depending on what play you have or what you're looking for. I wish we could help out every single play. And there's, I think if you go back and watch, you'll see there's a lot of times where we're chipping and helping out our tackles at times. But yeah, there's some times too where that doesn't happen and you don't have that, and then we got to try our best to either work in the pocket or protect as much as we can.
Matt, overall, big picture with Mitch today.
Yeah.
The lows, the turnovers, of course, had some good things, some throws down the field. That last drive made a couple big.
Mm-hmm.
How do you sort of, without watching the film yet, how do you walk away feeling about what he did out there today?
Yeah. So for him and for us, what I want to really go back and reflect on with all of us together is just where we're at. I kind of look sometimes for the intangibles, you know, like the where we at vibe on the sideline, the leadership, and then when you get a chance to make plays, where is that part at, right? And then decision making, really the one thing for me that, or really all of our coaches, that you have to do is you have to be able to see decision making wise and with the quarterback, are the eyes going to the same place? So I got to see it. I got to watch it tonight and see. But there was some good plays in there, and there's some ones I think we went back.
Matt, as a coach, how do you sort of deal with the internal frustration? You talk all week about getting the run going. You get the run.
Yeah.
Results sort of the same. How does that sort of – how do you stay not dispirited with that?
Well, you just – you have to figure out really where you're at as leaders, and then throughout the week, like there's, you don't change much. You understand that there's some things that you got to change schematically. I think that's where there might be some minor changes here or there. That's adapting to where you're at. But this is just all about motivation. This is all about people caring, and this is all about us in tough times relying on one another. It's we completely. Know where we want to be. We completely know wherever our city wants to be. So we got to. The only thing we can do is stay together and try to win.
Man, you've got 100% belief in your decision at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You think most coaches would do that in the NFL?
I don't know. You'd have to. You know, I'll leave that up to your research and what you think. I'm not into all that what ifs. I don't work that way. That's for you guys to go through and have a storyline for all week to talk about. That's not for me. I don't deal with that. And I just know that we felt confident that we were going to make that kick. We didn't, and now we don't dwell on it. We move forward.
Coming back to the end of the first half, second and one, no timeouts left. Do you think you left the team enough to? I mean, after that run, it took 15 seconds for that to get untangled to get the next play.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
At the end of the first half.
Yeah.
After that second down, you had no timeouts left. So it's second and one.
Right.
You run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It took about 10, 15 seconds for that pile. I mean, do you
That got drawn out. No, we knew what we were doing. We had a plan that we were going to go out there with the clock. When you go back and look at it, you'll see it took a little while. They were
8, 10 seconds.
Yeah, but there was guys down on the ground. They couldn't get up. There was like a big pile there. So when I saw that, that's when I said to myself, uh-oh, this is going to get close. And you don't really expect that, but for whatever reason, that happened. And but, again, that's a – For us, it didn't happen.
So the plan was, if we don't get it, we're clocking it.
Yeah, we all talked about that as staff, yeah.
Man, Eddie Pinheiro's had a good season today. Considering all the focus on the kicker situation coming in this season, where do you feel like you're at right now with your kickers?
I really like where we're at. I have ultimate faith in him. I do. It just happens to be in our situation, it just gets completely magnified because of where we've been before. But I have ultimate trust in him. He's going to be the first one to tell you that he wants to come back out here and he wants another opportunity at that shot, you know, at that kick. So that's all we can do is next time he gets that chance, he puts it right down the middle.
Matt, we saw a lot of the creative play calling from last year when you got near the goal line, and then today you had so many different chances. Where was kind of the disconnect, which is the plays that you're drawing up and then you're just not able to punch it in?
Yeah, there's no disconnect. It's just, there are similar plays. There's similar plays in in certain ways, and there's some plays that are a little bit different based off of some people that we have. But you know, there's not a lot of change in some of the stuff. It's just you got to pick the defenses. The coordinator's got to figure out, okay, when's he coming with this one or that one? What is it, a run? Is it a pass? What formation, personnel? And but there's not a lot of them in there that we haven't done before.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, no problem.
So it ended nicely. It was cordial at the end after a tough start there. I don't know. These are all the signs. This is the signs of when things are starting to get really bad, though.
Yeah.
You hear press conferences like that. The coach doesn't really, you know, when you have to talk every day and things aren't going well, it's always going to
look
bad.
Yeah, it makes your job suck a bit.
Now you could do things to help yourself that John Fox never did.
Yeah.
To help the situation. And I think Nagy does do an okay job of that. And I'm sure by Wednesday he'll, you know, have some answers and things will look, you know, seem to make a little bit more sense than they did today in the aftermath of this loss. But you just certainly get that feeling that it's headed into that territory.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, there's still 9 games left. Some guys are still exuding some positive vibes. I'm just not sure how much it means right now. You can be as positive as you want. You need production. You need the results. And the lights just went off in us. CBS. Oh, they're going off across.
The lights just went out here in the suite that we're recording.
Yes, they're going off all over Soldier Field right now. Sign of things to come. Not only is this podcast ending, but apparently the world. But look, it's just when a team is short on answers and the head coach is getting testy and your quarterback's playing this way and the defense is showing holes, I just feel like we've been down this road before, man.
Yeah.
We have.
It's too bad because it didn't seem like it was going to be headed this way. And again, I'll go back to it's a week-to-week league. So there is still a chance that like they could salvage some kind of momentum.
There's been teams that have gone 4-4 at their midway point and reached the playoffs before.
Yeah.
Like, to throw you a little bone out there, it happens. It does happen, but
I would guess without doing the research, most of those teams had good quarterbacks.
Yeah, you need to. There's, I think, a Buccaneers team in there without a quarterback. I think they had, like,
they didn't even have a quarterback.
They didn't even play a quarterback.
They played Wildcat.
Yes. Yeah, maybe.
But like your Rodgers said the RELAX thing and they won 6 straight games.
Well, you got Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
right?
He's
like,
Aaron Rodgers.
Even like Nagy's going to reference this week, I promise you, the 1-5 team for the Chiefs. But you know what? I looked at the stats. You know what coincided with that? Better quarterback play.
Alex Smith, right?
Yes. Started coming around to the offense they're putting in there under Andy Reid. I'm just saying, salvaging the season means salvaging part of this Trubisky conversation. He needs to have less throws like the interceptions and the Trey Burton. He needs to start making plays with his feet again. It's everything for the rest of the season. Everything.
Right. But also, I think the head coach, too. Look, I don't see any.
Well, they're tied to me. They're hand in hand
right.
to me. Yeah.
Well, and to be clear, and we've covered this, I don't see any scenario. Sorry, guys, that Matt Nagy's not the head coach next year. He's just going to be. The contracts are there. Ryan Pace is still going to be here. He's Ryan Pace's guy. That's just what it is. But you certainly don't want to go into an offseason with, you know, a lot of the players within the organization doubting what's going on with the head coach.
Yes.
So I would also say that's a big part of the rest of the season, too. That
yes.
That needs to be recaptured, the Matt Nagy mojo they had. I mean, Jesus, we're not even a year removed from Executive of the Year, Coach of the Year, Trubisky in the Pro Bowl, which was kind of a farce, but he was still in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
All this stuff. How many Pro Bowlers do they have? 7?
Yeah, they led the league.
Yeah.
Now everybody wants everybody out of here.
Yeah, that's the way it
goes. It's a long year, folks.
All right.
9 more games.
I'm going to do Bears fans a favor and skip Mitch Trubisky's press conference this week. There wasn't much in there.
No.
So I don't think we need to do that. And it's kind of the same old song and dance. He made some mistakes. He also made some, again, he made some throws today that I feel like you could, there was a scenario today where you were leaving the game with him feeling better, with him feeling more confident. and you having sort of found some rhythm and maybe possibly an identity running the football.
Yeah.
And it just feels like that all evaporated in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll say this. I know we're getting out of here. Like when the Eagles lost, Parkey's miss, and that's it. At least for this game, you have Pinheiro's miss, and you got 9 games left. Let's see if Mitch Trubisky can truly build off some late momentum.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We talked about that all offseason, though, and it kind of turned out to not be something to rely on. You're talking about how he had a great fourth quarter against the Eagles. Okay, it's going to build into this big season, and that just hasn't happened.
Yeah, we'll see.
But again, I think a lot of that goes back to that Packer game.
Something happens.
Sucked out of him. And I don't know if he can recover. But there are still 9 games left. We go to Philadelphia next.
We got to cover something, Adam.
Oh, I got plenty to cover. I got another football team I watch on Saturdays that has some offensive issues.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have 2, actually.
No. No, I don't. So I think I saw 1 offensive touchdown this weekend. How many did I see last weekend? None for Northwestern. How many did the Bears score last week?
0. Did they have 1? I forget.
Who did they play last week again?
Saints. We should go.
I don't even remember.
They turned the lights off on us for a reason, Adam.
I get that. I'm going to have to start seeking professional help if I don't start seeing more touchdowns. It's getting to be rough. All right. We're out of here. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. And we are, just about a week and a half away from our next live show?
Yeah.
It's happening at Kroll South Loop, thanks to our friends at Goose Island. Win or lose, whatever happens next week, we're going to have fun.
Yeah. If you don't want the Bears conversation, come for a burger and a beer.
And there'll be plenty of Goose Island to drink and enjoy with whatever's happening with the Bears. So that's going on November 7th at Kroll South Loop. Great location. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully we'll see you there. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, at Adam Johns. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, The Athletic, TheAthletic.com, and that is where you find Tuesday's episode on The Athletic app, our bonus episode every single week. We'll have another one of those for you this week. All right. Bears lose. Under 500. Wow.
3-4.
They were 3-1. They are now 3-4. And next week's not easy. Going to Philadelphia.
No.
They crushed the Bills. We'll talk to you later in the week.
See ya.
Where's our friend Patrick Finley?